This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
The Boston Red Sox have captured the imaginations of New England this after defeating the Yankees in the wild card and then knocking off the Tampa Bay Rays, now taking on the Houston Astros, the American League Championship Series. Game two is today. Nathan Eovaldi gets the ball for the Red Sox against the Astros in Houston a little after 4 o'clock. I am Chris Ryan. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a magical Sunday and Monday at Fenway Park. Games 3 and 4 of the division series. Red Sox winning on a walk-off by Christian Vasquez in the 13th inning on Sunday, and then winning on another walk-off, this in the bottom of the ninth, as Kike Hernandez, a sac fly that won it for Boston. In both games, the Red Sox bullpen gave up leads. In both games, the Red Sox ended up defeating a Tampa Bay Rays team that won 100 games this year. The celebration at Fenway Park was a significant one, and that this is a Red Sox team that outsiders did not expect to do well. And insiders know how difficult this season has been, battling COVID-19 and finding out that this team did have some significant weaknesses that needed to be overcome. And they were able to overcome those weaknesses in knocking off the Rays in the division series. I found Red Sox manager Alex Cora around the shortstop position in the midst of the celebration on Monday night.
Alex, emotional after this one, just as you were after the wild card win. What does this mean to you to see what this team is accomplishing?
It means a lot on a personal level. I'll keep it to myself, but you know, going into spring training and see the group and the chances of accomplishing something like this was real. I know a lot of people didn't think that way, and they had their reasons, right? As an organization, we struggled last year, or they struggled last year. And, you know, 2 years ago, we had a great team. We didn't post. And for us to grind through the season and at one point be the best team in the big leagues, I always joke, you know, the number one team in the nation, and then, you know, to be ranked the number 10 team in the nation, you know, It's 162, and you have the up and downs, and we face the Yankees and the Rays, who are extraordinary. And for us to be in this point, it means a lot. It means a lot from John Henry all the way to the Dominican Summer League. We did an amazing job, but we still got work to do.
I remember I asked you in spring training, you know, what do you have here? And do you have a championship team? Like, no, this is a team that is going to compete. It's a team that's going to compete for a championship. And you know, to see that happen, given the COVID situation, given how trying this season has been on you from a personal perspective and trying to get everything together on a day-in-day-out basis.
Yeah, it was a grind. It's still a grind. You never know what they tell you in 2 hours, you know, COVID-wise. So, I'm just happy for the coaches, for the trainers, for everybody that is involved in a day and on a daily basis. You know, this is not an easy operation, and a lot of people, you know, they put their effort, they put their hours, and here we are. You know, for JD to play, for Witt to pose, you know, for Christian to be able to catch all those innings, you know, just amazing. And I'm very proud of everybody. I'm actually happier for them than for myself. And, you know, and just to see their families enjoy this, it means a lot. And we just got to get ready for the next one.
Take me through the roller coaster ride of emotions over the last 10 days, where there was Baltimore and there was that moment. And then there was Washington, the Yankees, and now today. What has that been like, where you've talked about the first 162 against the Nationals and then the Yankees wildcard game as being the most challenging for you in managing? What has it been like, the roller coaster?
I tell you what, that Baltimore series, we were horrible.
Yeah.
Offensively, I can say it right now, we felt the pressure. You know, the at-bats were bad. You know, we didn't grind. We didn't compete at the way we always compete. And then we were able to breathe a little bit in Washington. The second part of that 162 was great, you know, with Rafi hitting the two homers and Doogie hitting double in the gap. That was really good. And then after that, you know, it's kind of like we've been in this situation for the last 10 days. You know, it's do or die or win it takes all. We played great against the Yankees. We played great against this team. One thing for sure, you know, and nothing against them, but, you know, it's sometimes it's hard when you don't play that many games in the last 10 days and you face a team that has been grinding for a while and it's been kind of like living and dying on a daily basis. And, you know, they did an outstanding job in game one, but we stayed the course and here we are.
Final thing is just on the adversity and also the Baltimore series, COVID situation, the Baltimore series. Do you think that those situations kind of built this team in some ways and allowed for it to kind of flourish?
The fact that when we went to Tampa after the Cleveland series and Kike stayed back and Christian stayed back, and I said, we're going to be okay. You know, we just need to reset the bullpen and go from there. We added Jack Lopez. We added Jonathan Rose. They played up the middle for 4 days and slowed things down for us. We were going very fast because of everything that was going on, and we played two great games in Tampa at the end, and then we won two, I think, coming back here. And that put – everybody was like, okay, we'll be fine. We just got to trust everybody, and if we do that, we're going to prevail, and so far we've done that.
Also talked with Red Sox shortstop Xander Bogaerts.
Congratulations, first off. Second, you've been through a lot of these celebrations and champagne celebrations. What about this one makes it so special in your view? Because it seems like this group, everybody's taking this in a little bit more tonight.
I know there might be a lot of guys that we have a lot of young guys on this team. You know, a lot of guys that haven't experienced this as of yet. Maybe some guys that haven't had the amount of playing time that they would want, you know. But this is a moment you should appreciate. We worked hard since February. And even in the off season, everyone's trying to work hard toward a better year, having a great year. And I feel like this is a moment that we should enjoy, just being able to be the last man standing, you know. Until, I mean, at this point, we are one of the few teams left.
How good was this series? You know, these last two games here at Fenway, phenomenal. Your game two was special. How good was this series?
It was good. It was good, man. Let's be honest. Those guys won 100 games. Everyone they bring out of the bullpen, it's pretty tough, you know. And I mean, I know we played them a whole lot throughout these years, even this year. But sometimes you get their best guy against your best guy, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You gotta give them credit, man. They're a really good team. They know what they're doing. Sometimes people be like, hey, how do they do it? But they just find a way, and as an organization, they're really tough. And being able to overcome that is huge for us. And, I mean, if you ask 10 people who would have won the series, they'll probably say 9 or probably say Rays.
How much do you feel this is your team now? Do you feel, as the kind of the senior guy, you've won two championships, no. This will be your third. Do you feel that you look around and say, this is my group?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do, you know, but I try to remain humble and understand that I have 24, 25 other guys on my team. That some guys have more experience than me, some guys that I don't know as of well, maybe they're new to this team. But listen, man, I know a lot about this city, man, and I know a lot about the expectation that we have here, and it's very high, man. It's very high, and as I said, once you f*** it up, it's not like you should get really down on yourself, because it's a tough game, man, and you might get another opportunity. It's just you got to be ready for it.
Was Schwarber a difference maker in how he approaches the game, the energy he has, and did he take this lineup to a next level?
He did. 100% he did, man. I mean, we were a really good lineup, but anytime you can add someone like him, the same as adding JD to the roster again, you know, I mean, it's just that big of a difference. Those guys are quality hitters, quality big league hitters. They know what they're doing at the plate. They have a good plan. It's not always going to work, but at least they look really good. But sometimes the pitcher just gets the best of them.
Finally, did you need to see, you know, whether it was coming out of the Baltimore series, what you did in Washington to clinch the wild card or to beat the Yankees or to win this series, did you need to see evidence to know what this team was? Because obviously you guys feel like a championship team now, but did you always feel it?
I mean, hey, we were first in the division for a whole lot of the first part of the season. We went to a rough stretch and we lost the division against these guys that we just won. So
it's not like it was just luck. You know, we had it in us. It's just that we had to go and find it again, you know, and sometimes it takes longer than other times. Just like hitting. You lose it and you keep working until you find it again, and we found it at a good time.
Here is Nathan Evaldi.
You've been in a number of these celebrations. Mm-hmm. What about this team and what about this particular accomplishment is so special?
Yeah, so I was talking to Sale earlier in the year, you know, when he was coming back and he was like, we got that energy. We had that vibe at the beginning of the season when we were, you know, we were in first place and you could feel that energy, the energy. And then, you know, it kind of started to shift a little bit. We started struggling and we had our issues and stuff. But, you know, once we were able to finally clinch into the postseason, I feel like it that's when it shifted. And I feel like that's when we talk about, you know, if in the wild card, as long as you can make it. So that's when you can have that energy and everything. And, you know, you feed off of everybody and all the emotions. You got the crowd coming into the games and, you know, the energy that they're bringing on a day in, day out. I mean, when we had that wild card, I think the fans kind of set the tone for us. And we were feeding off of their energy. And then, you know, just that willingness of, you know, everybody can contribute, you know, that nobody, you know, that do or die kind of situations. And we had different guys stepping up to the plate and being able to pick us up. And I think I touched on it earlier with especially this series, Eddie struggled. We had Pivetta come in and pick him up, give us the innings that we needed.
It's okay.
And we had Sale come in and he struggled, and you know, Houck was able to pick him up.
Yeah.
And then you saw the performance that he had today, and we were able to lock it down. And you know, we felt like once if we were able to win one of the games out there in Tampa, we'd be able to clinch here at home, and we were able to do that today.
How much do you think the struggles helped to get you guys where you are? Was it the COVID stuff or when you weren't playing? Was there certain things that you gained from that? And I was talking to JD about this, and he thought from like a fan and media perspective that being written off and lowering expectations kind of made everybody appreciate what's taking place here a little bit more on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I know we coming into spring training at least this year, everybody was counting us out, but we felt, you know, having AC back, having Darwinson, having Josh Taylor, Eddie, Sale, knowing Sale was going to be back at some point this year, we had that chip on our shoulders. We just had to get to this point, you know, maybe August, maybe towards the end of the season, and everything was going to click, and we'd be able to be here in this situation.
Final thing is on postseason Nate. What is different about, you know, postseason Nate outside of, you know, we obviously you're more intense, you're more focused, you draw off the crowd, but what about this kind of environment, particularly, you know, do you focus more? Do you get, you know, angrier? Do you just want to dominate? Like, what is your – how do you get to that mental place?
I mean, I don't feel like it's the anger or anything like that, but it's the focus. I feel like I'm able to focus a lot more. It's like that kind of do-or-die situation. You know, you're feeding off the crowds. We're at home. Even if we're on the road, I'm trying to keep the crowds out of the game because I know of how much of a momentum shift that can be for them. And I'm trying to make sure I don't allow that to happen, and it only takes a couple hits in a row for that to happen. So I think it's the focus, the preparation. You're just locked in, and, you know, it's again, it's one of those kind of do-or-die moments, and I try to do my best to be able to lock in and prepare myself in between starts and leading up to that start. And it's almost like you don't ever really take a day off. It's the way AC manages everything. It's you can be in the bullpen, you can be ready to go at any moment, and you gotta stay locked in and be prepared for that moment. And I don't want to be able to let my team down if my name's called upon.
Christian Vasquez, a huge hero in this series for the Red Sox with a walk-off home run to win it in the 13th on Sunday. Also, he started things off with a base hit in the bottom of the ninth against the Rays in Game 4.
Christian, you're one of the longest tenured players on this club, and you've seen the ups and the downs. And what does this year mean to you, and what does this accomplish mean to you guys that you're moving on?
Yeah, it's a grind. Every day, like, we got a lot of up and downs in this season. You know, it's a privilege to be here in this position, and you know, nobody counts on us, you know, in the beginning of the season. So, you know, we need to continue to do our job and continue what we're doing now.
For you, back-to-back days, the walk-off in Game 3 and here in Game 4, you set things up with a base hit, start things off in the bottom of the ninth. What does it mean to you to play that type of role, given how much you mean to this team, how much you love this team?
Yeah, it's, you know, somebody needs to do it. Like I said yesterday, you know, it's a privilege to, you know, be in the front of this team and, you know, like a leader and you know, that's my job, you know, help the team win and be there for them.
What was this atmosphere like the last week where it felt like the fans were kind of willing you guys on a night-in, night-out basis to get going, to keep leads, to come back? And how does that help a ball club?
Yeah, the fans, they're the best. You know, it's, I think they're, you know, bringing every night that energy to us to get back in the game, stay in the game, and stay the lead like you know, the game is, and means a lot to us.
JD was talking about this club as compared to 18 and said this is a club that the fans didn't have the expectations for, the media didn't, and you guys have to kind of scrap and claw and hit your way to wins. What do you see as being the differences between the two teams, and what do you like about the way this team approaches the game?
I think when I think, you know, the best thing of this team is we stay together like 18. I think that's the main thing for a team to win and get success. And, you know, I've seen the same thing here. So it feels good to have those things in the team. And you know, every night is a different hero. You know, it's you know, we pass the baton and means a lot for us.
Thanks. Congrats.
You got it. Thank you.
Also caught up with Red Sox DH JD Martinez.
What's impressed you most about the team's collective approach in the postseason to hitting? What is, has things changed from the regular season approach?
I think the atmosphere changes. It's the biggest thing, man. You know, it's the postseason. Senses are heightened. You're running on adrenaline. It's different when you run on adrenaline versus 162 games. It's repetitive.
How does it change you? The adrenaline, and how does it change you from a mental perspective? Are you more focused? Are you more locked in?
I think so. I think hitters in general are more locked in, not just us, everybody. You know, I think hitters in general, you zone in more, you focus more, and it's because of the moment, you know, the fans, the situation, the energy in this place is unreal, you know, and just, you know, what's on the line.
How do you put yourself in a place mentally to make sure that you're able to maximize the moments in the postseason and that you don't press in those moments or try to do too much? Like for you personally, like how do you put yourself in a spot where to take the at-bat in game three where you're battling, fouling off pitches and making sure that you're in the same spot each pitch mentally?
I try to have fun with it, honestly. Like I don't even – this is all fun. Like this is fun ball. This is – It counts, like everything counts, obviously. Like this is what you play for the playoffs, but this is the fun part of baseball. You know, the beginning, the grind is over. That grind of getting here that's the mental grind part. This part right here is just enjoy it, have fun. Like, you know, I caught myself looking up yesterday when I was battling that pitch off of Robertson, you know, and it's just looking around and seeing everybody on their feet. Like, I was like, dude, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah, and how magical has that been? Where 18 was special, obviously, but it seems like this year, maybe it's people being back after COVID or whatever, it seems like it's a little bit different in terms of the intensity, people up the whole game. How do you see it?
I honestly think that, like, 18, everyone kind of expected us to win. Mm-hmm. You know, we were the best team in the league. We had the best record. We had the most talent. And everyone expected us to win. Mm-hmm. This year is a little different. This year, I feel like most of the people don't expect us to win. And they're kind of... You know, I think that the fans kind of love that. They love that underdog kind of feel, that underdog story, and they just kind of run with it.
Final thing is, how does it affect you guys? Where it's obviously a different approach externally, but is it different internally as well?
No, I don't know. Like I said, I just try to tell everybody, man, just have fun. See, some people may play their whole careers, they never even play in the playoffs. Like, don't put any pressure on yourself, you know? It's just, pressure doesn't exist. It's what we add to ourselves, so... Just enjoy it. Like, if you get out, you get out. Who cares? But just go up there and have fun and live in the moment.
Here's Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom.
Chaim, is this team quote-unquote ahead of schedule, in your view, when you thought about how long it would take to get to a place of sustained competitiveness? Is the team ahead of schedule?
I try not to think about things in terms of schedules.
Yep.
Obviously, we need to have a cohesive plan, but when you start trying to force reality into a schedule, you end up doing some things that you shouldn't. I think where we are shows, you know, some of the payoff that you can get by making good baseball moves, and also the power of environment and culture in bringing a group together.
Yeah, I want to get to that latter point because I was talking with Brandon Lau about the Rays and the type of culture they've created there. And how much of the culture piece do you think of when you're acquiring players? Like, take Schwarber as an example, who's not only a great player but has a personality and a work ethic which resonates with guys. Is that a underrated aspect of bringing in players?
It's certainly very important. You know, obviously, I don't know whether it's underrated. Obviously, it depends how you rate it. We value it a lot. Yeah. I think most teams do. I don't know that you can always anticipate in advance how a group is going to gel, so it's important not to think we know too much about what clubhouse culture is going to be like. You know, when you talk about a guy like Schwarber, you're talking about someone whose reputation in this game, what he means inside of a clubhouse, is above and beyond. It's very, very important. I think everybody in the organization has a role in creating that, whether it's players or staff or, you know, front office or anybody that works here. It all comes together to build culture, and you get the best culture when you have everybody on the same page, everybody pulling in the same direction and doing their part to make this environment as good as it can be.
How important has Alex been this year, considering the challenges with COVID, considering the type of games that he had to manage down the stretch here? How much has his experience and also his confidence and conviction paid off?
He's been huge, obviously. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You know, his leadership ability has really stood out. He is able to set a tone that allows players to flourish, which is what you want your manager to do. He builds confidence and self-belief as well as anybody that I've been around.
And the final thing is just on, you know, the postseason itself. What have you noticed about this group? And is it difficult to see a team play in the regular season and try to forecast what their postseason effectiveness is going to be? Or can you gauge that?
I think we can fool ourselves into thinking we know more about this game than we do.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, if you're good enough to get in, you have a chance to win the whole thing. History has shown that time and again. You know, baseball unfolds in very strange ways once you get into October. You have to be good enough to get in, and the 6 months of the marathon test you every which way and make you prove that you are. And once you do, if you play well, you can win the whole thing.
Now to the New England Patriots, who take on the Dallas Cowboys 4:25 tomorrow in Foxborough. Patriots improved to 2-3 with a 25-22 win over the Houston Texans last Sunday. A come-from-behind victory. Patriots still some trouble executing in the red zone, but were able to get a late touchdown. Mac Jones leading them down the field. So perhaps some momentum building for this offense. I talked with Bill Belichick about.
Morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, Chris. Good morning.
Just your thoughts on how it can positively impact an offense to come back the way that you did, to make plays, particularly, you know, getting into the end zone where that had been challenging. And is that a building point for you guys, or what are your thoughts on that?
On what now, Chris?
How the offense kind of came together in the second half, coming from behind, making big plays. Is that something that springboards an offense in your view?
Well, sure. I think anytime you do things well, it builds your confidence, whether it's in practice or, more importantly, in game situations. But until you do something and see it done successfully, I don't think you have quite the same level of confidence. And of course, doing it in game starts in practice, but then doing it in a game just reinforces that. So, again, I think we have some things to build on, and we have some things we need to continue to work on, or, you know, little details that could make a big difference in some of the plays in all three phases.
And just how would you describe Matthew Judon's impact on the defense, 6.5 sacks so far, and how has he helped to impact that defense?
Yeah, well, Matt's an explosive player, and, you know, he's certainly given us, you know, a number of significant plays. You know, I think as he continues to, you know, work with his teammates and you know, build communication and adjustments in the defense, that it'll continue to get better. I think that's still an area that he's, I wouldn't say it's deficient, but I think it will improve. and it has improved over the course of the year, and I think it will continue to do that. But he's made a number of big plays, and he's you know, he's strong, he's fast, and he's instinctive. So he's got some good tools to work with.
Thanks, Bill.
Welcome.
Morning, this is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Red Sox fell last night in Houston 5-4 to the Astros in Game 1. Red Sox bullpen did a minimal. The Alex Cora asked a lot of them after only getting a 2 1/3 from Chris Sale. But Red Sox lose Game 1 5-4. Still so much excitement for this Red Sox team. And given the way they've gone through this year, being down one game to none is really nothing for this group. I talked with Alex Cora about the type of interest that exists right now in this Red Sox team.
Chris? Alex, JD and Xander spoke the other night about the fan interest in this team and how it's perhaps elevated from 2018. Is that your sense as well, given, you know, the way that the crowds have been here at Fenway? And if so, why do you think this team perhaps has, you know, the fans are a little more interested in this team, quote-unquote?
Not sure if there are more interest now than what they were in 18. I think the circumstances around not only us, but, you know, where we at outside our world, you know, has made this place special. You know, like, you're like, I want to go to a ball game. I want to be outdoor. I want to scream. You know, some people have been in lockdowns for a long, long time. You know, there's a lot of restrictions to our lives, and the fact that, you know, they got the Red Sox playing Fenway meaningful games, it makes it more interesting, I think. You know, in this area, like I said, when I got the job in 18, you know, they live baseball. You know, it's 24 hours, 7 days a week, and people talk about it, sometimes positive, sometimes negative. There's debates about, you know, do they like them or they don't like them, or there's interest or not interest. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're talking baseball. So people like baseball here, and that makes it fun. I feel it now when I go to places that people are really into this. You know, I used to joke with Petey because everybody takes for granted that if you win a World Series, you don't pay a meal in this city, and that's not true. And actually, you have to tip better because you don't want to be the guy that, oh, this guy came here and he just gave me this, you know. But the last 10 days, yeah, it's been really good as far as, like, the financial part of it with meals and all that. So it's a special place. It's been, like I said, you know, the last three games here, for whatever reason, it feels it's louder and louder and louder. And that home field advantage that everybody talked about in 04, 07, I don't want to say we didn't have home field advantage in 18. It just felt like, you know, we were that good. You know, it's not like, but and now you feel it. Now you feel it, and everybody's talking about it.
Kiki Hernandez has been the hitting star for the Red Sox with another two home runs last night, a double as well, and a single, excuse me, to go along with that. But Alex Verdugo has been solid for the Red Sox as well. I talked with him.
Why has the postseason agreed with you so much?
I love playing baseball, and postseason's like a, you know, just like a must win. Doesn't matter how you do individually; it's just how you do as a team. And I think that's like the most ideal part of baseball. You know, just not trying to do anything for yourself. It's just, hey, man, any way I can help the team win, and you know, it's been working out. Good at bats are taking it.
What impresses you about the Astros, particularly their pitching staff?
I mean, I know they got some guys over there that, you know, got some good stuff, you know, weird characteristics to their pitches, but really it's just, you know, get anybody in the zone and you'll be all right. You swing at pitches out of the zone, I mean, they'll have success, but you just got to get them in the zone.
When did this team find itself, in your view? Was it after the Baltimore series, Washington? Like, what's kind of started this role? You've been good throughout the course of the year, but there have been ups and downs. But what spurred what you're on right now?
We're all professionals. We're all grown men. We know what we have to do. It's that simple. You know, it's just we had our little stretch where we didn't have that good of baseball, that clean of baseball. And I feel like, you know, that's just part of a 162-game season. It's just that's what makes baseball so hard. You play every day and you gotta, you know, feel good or do something every day. And for us, it's just right now we understand, like, hey, man, like every game is a must win. You know, just lock it in, play fundamental, don't try to do too much. And I feel like our team has really been firing on all cylinders.
Patriots and Cowboys play on Sunday in Foxborough, 4:25 p.m. Talk to a couple of key Patriots players about this matchup against the Cowboys, starting with wide receiver Kendrick Bourne. Hey, Kendrick, how are you?
Chris, I'm blessed, man.
Good. Wanted to ask you about something Bill said earlier about the Cowboys game, this having to be, you know, your best game of the year. Do you agree with that you have to play your best? And what does that look like from an execution standpoint?
I would say, yeah, that was definitely my best game statistically. But, you know, I don't really get into none of that. It's really just playing my role and playing the plays that come to me that I know that are coming to me or may come to me as hard as I can to get the best result. But I'm definitely familiar with this team. Like I've played against them and just ready for the opportunity, man. You know, they're a good team, solid DBs. They got Trayvon, you know, he's leading the league in interceptions. So just trying to avoid stuff like that, giving them easy plays. A lot of plays I've seen on them were just guys making mistakes, not running good routes and stuff like that. So I would just say being in the right places at the right time, having my timing right with Mac will bring, you know, success. And us at wideout have been winning pretty consistently. And so it's just about us executing and making the plays we need to make.
What's the confidence like for the offense at this point where you guys were able to make plays down the stretch of the Houston game, got into the end zone late, Mac executed? Did you guys need to see that, particularly, you know, when you're struggling a little bit in that game and you guys want to see results?
That's a great question, man. I feel like that game was just meant to happen and meant to go the way it went for us to move in the direction we need to go because, you know, the game started with them having the ball for a whole quarter and was just so weird for the offense, like sitting there, bodies getting relaxed. And just the way we stayed in the game the whole time was very important. You know, we didn't give up. We didn't lay down and just let them take off with the lead. You know, they didn't really do anything crazy with the offense. It was just a couple big plays that they made and we played the game out, you know, made some plays on special teams. Shout out to them. Defense and offense, all complimentary football through the game. And we ended up, you know, finishing better than they started. And that's what we needed, you know, because we've had games where we've been close and just not a finish as good. We started good, but not finished. So that was kind of close to a complete game, but we still can start faster and finish kind of the same way. You know, that's the plan. But I would say that's what we need to do is find our complete game and our confidence has been going high because, you know, we're doing it at practice. If we can do it at practice every day, it should be really easy in the game. And Bill does a really good job of making practice hard for us, putting us in hard situations so we're not shocked when we get to the game. And that's what I love about it here most, man. I've learned how to just play every situation out because I've been going through every situation in practice with Bill and how he runs it here. And I appreciate it because when I get to the game, I'm so comfortable in a gotta-have-it-fourth-down or – 2-minute situation, I'm in more shape than I've ever been and stuff like that. So we're confident all around because we're doing everything at practice.
Just a brief follow-up on that. Is it difficult at times for players? You mentioned, you know, Hunter and everybody else and Janu. Is it difficult at times, do you think, to assimilate into this offense because of how complex everything is and how much is being asked of you guys? So is it taking a little bit longer than you expected maybe?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. It's tough. As we all know, football is tough in itself. So for us to learn a new system and amount of time we have is tough. But we're professional athletes. You know, we're paid for a reason. We're here for a reason. So it's us and the coaches working together to meet at the top of the mountain. And that's what I feel like everybody has bought into here. And we're seeing the results slowly but surely. And it's never going to be perfect, but the more we strive for that as a team, as individual players, the better the team is altogether. So I would say everybody has bought in how they're supposed to. And the game, the record doesn't really speak for it right now, but in the building, we know how we feel and where we're headed. So it's just about keeping those positive mindsets about what we're doing and where we're trying to go.
Thanks. Here's defensive end Dietrich Wise.
Hey, D, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris.
Good. Bill said earlier today that this has to be, you know, the best game that you guys play this year. Do you agree with that? And we've talked about obviously a little bit. What in your view makes, you know, the Dallas offense so lethal?
So lethal?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they have great chemistry. As you can watch on film, Dak does a great job of leading his offense, controlling what everybody does, talking to a line, very vocal. He's doing a good job this year doing that. Being able to pass the ball around to Coop, to 88, to his tight ends. He can just throw the ball to his tight ends and they'll catch it. His O-line does a great job of protecting. And then when the pass game isn't on or isn't hot at the moment, they'll definitely have a two-headed horseback there running the ball. So they're definitely a very versatile and highly skilled.
And talking about Dak, are there any players that are similar to him, do you think, in the league? Because it seems like he has a really good skill set in a number of different areas. Decision-making, makes good plays, can run. Is he one of the more well-rounded quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, I'm not here to compare. That's what ESPN does. But I will do is I will say he is a great quarterback, very big. Not a lot of quarterbacks out there are big as he is, able to evade blocks, able to stay in pocket just a little bit longer and take hits to make great passes. So he's a pretty good quarterback.
Appreciate it. More of the Press Pass still to come, including a conversation with Kyle Schwarber. That next. I am Chris Ryan. This is the Press Pass. This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Red Sox need to flush game one of the American League Championship Series. Get back at it today with Nathan Eovaldi on the Hill. They lost 5-4 to Houston in that game one last night. Let's look back at one of the great games in Red Sox playoff history, and that was game three of the division series this past Sunday, in which the Boston Red Sox prevailed in 13 innings. They blew a lead. They were able to keep things where they needed to keep them, scoreless, as Nick Pivetta pitched four shutout innings in extra innings, the 10th through the 13th, and then Christian Vasquez with a walk-off home run in the 13th. Fenway was magical this past Sunday. Let's hear from Christian Vasquez, who's had a great postseason on the walk-off.
Hey, Christian, can you describe the emotion of hitting the walk-off there, and what is it like, you know, inning after inning, where it's kind of building up and you're wondering when and how this is going to come to a conclusion?
Yeah, like, it's a big moment for us. It's a big win. I think, you know, it was no matter what inning, we need to do the job, and somebody need to do it, and, you know, I take charge there, and I did it. So it's, you know, we play good, and we're ready for tomorrow.
Here's Nick Pivetta.
Yeah, Nick, could you just kind of reflect on how good this game was overall? And when you get the ball in the 10th, are you prepared to go as long as you need to go in that instance?
Yeah, I mean, Nate started off with us, and he did an incredible job to go deep. And then the guys who came in between did a great job. For me personally, you know, I'm just prepared to do whatever it takes at any time. I think that's the most important thing until I'm taken out of the game. I was ready to go as long as I possibly could. I had the energy for it. I had the rest for it. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure in those situations, and it's just you got to have fun with it. You got to be excited. Like I said, feed off the crowd, feed off everybody else, the dugout. You know, everybody was in it. So kept me in the baseball game, kept me at high energy, which I like to be at. And, you know, it's just exciting stuff to be a part of. It was just a moment in time, like I've said, and it'll never be forgotten.
Something special going on with this Red Sox team, and we talked with Kyle Schwarber about that.
When you first came over, did you kind of instantaneously know this team had something special and kind of that it factor? Did it take time
for it to develop? You certainly had time to obviously watch the team and get a feel for the clubhouse before you were stepping into the lineup.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're getting traded over and you see that where the team was at in the standings, you know, obviously there's something good going on, and that's when you just tell yourself, you know, don't get in the way and just fit right in, try to mold right into what these guys are doing, because obviously it's working. So they had it, and you know, obviously when I came over, we hit that little speed bump there on the 10-game road trip, and you know, then the whole COVID outbreak happened, and just being able to fight through that and come out on a really good end, you know, making a wild card appearance after all the adversity that hit there, it just shows you that the team wasn't going to stop at, you know, a little speed bump.
How would you define the leadership dynamic of this team, where there's so many different types of leaders that lead in different ways, kind of really up and down the lineup? You know, Pilecki is a guy that leads, and role players lead, and you lead obviously as well by example, and the discipline you have over the strike zone, your approach, mentality. How would you just define the leadership dynamic of this team, and is it different, say, compared to your Cubs championship team?
Yeah, you know, I think just guys being able to be comfortable in their, you know, in their own skin, things like that. You know, guys are going to lead in different ways. If it's a vocal leadership, if it's a do it on the field kind of thing, or if it's a one-on-one kind of deal, guys are going to be comfortable doing their own things, and the dynamic works. And you know, I think a lot of things too that help are obviously experience. You know, I remember being on great teams with leaderships like, you know, a David Ross, who was the backup catcher, but he was a guy who you leaned on for experience. You know, he would rip you if he needed to rip you, or he'd pat you on the back if he needed to pat you on the back. You know, then you have a John Lester, who's a all business type, not a lot of words, but goes out there and shows it. You know, you look at a Riz who goes out there and posts every day, and seeing him wear 100 miles an hour off the wrist and he's playing, or he rolls an ankle and it's a really bad one and he's out there 2 days later. You know, this things like that, and then you see how transferable it is over here. You look at what JD's doing, you look at like you said, Kevin Pilecki, who's a very good local vocal leader and keeps things loose. You know, see Chris Sale, who's an all business type of guy, wants to go out there and compete. Nate Evaldi, same thing. You know, you can keep naming guys off for what they bring to a team, and you can say that for every single guy out there on the field, and every single guy, they bring something that impacts the team.
How does the approach change from a hitting standpoint in the postseason? And is it, you know, more of a collective thing than an individualized thing, where you look at guys taking the ball the other way or shortening up their swing of two strikes, maybe a little more selective? Is there a change from a philosophical perspective on how you go about hitting? Because you're still hitting your home runs as a group, but it seems like you're also trying to score runs in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing in postseason baseball, is that you're trying to scratch out a run any way possible. Runs at any point in the game mean a lot. I mean, you saw the Milwaukee score the other day. I think it was 1-0 or 2-1 or something like that. Like, runs are a premium, and you have to be able to fight, scratch, claw for any type of run. You know, if it's trying to get the extra 90 feet, if it's really working this guy in a bat and trying to grind a walkout, if you get down to two strikes early or something like that, or you know what, we came up with the game plan and you want to attack early, or whatever it is, whatever that game plan is for our team and also yourself, because you have to know yourself and know what you want to do at the plate as well when you step in there. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. You know, the collective approach is, you know, keep fighting any way possible, and then when you can keep doing that, it's contagious on the whole team.
One more thing, we talked in the press conference about, you know, pressing and how guys are human and that stuff happens in the postseason. How much do you think that the way you guys got in down the stretch, the Yankees series, the way you came back in game two, does that kind of relieve a lot of pressure, where you guys know that you, in postseason settings, that you have what it takes to get it done, and now is the pressure kind of off, or how do you look at that?
I think just getting in is kind of the hard thing, right? Yeah. Getting in, it's such a long season, and you grind all the way, and then you're to the 162. You know, obviously the job is to win the division and try to get it done early enough to where you can relax a little bit before the playoffs come. But, you know, just the challenge of getting to it, that's the hardest thing. And then once you're there, you know, it's a reset. You know, it's just any way possible. And you know that the games are going to mean a lot. And, you know, you kind of take your pressure off of that aspect just because, you know what, you're here. Now it's time to just throw it out on the line. If it's a win, it's a loss, it's a loss. And you got to be able to come out the next day and do it again and try to keep advancing.
Here's Hunter Renfro.
Hunter, at what point did you know this team had a chance to be special? Was it something that was kind of instantaneous? Did you need to see kind of the evidence build up over time? When did you know that this team had kind of that it factor?
Yeah, I mean, I knew, you know, going to spring training, we had a lot of good guys. And obviously, you know, as we started playing spring training, going through the games there, I saw, you know, the impact some of the guys had. And obviously, JD being healthy and Chris Sale coming back toward the second half, that we had a really good chance if we start off hot that we could, you know, do something real special. And obviously, you know, us to this point have been, you know, I think we've proved a lot of people wrong. And I think that's, you know, everybody thought we were going to be middle-of-the-pack type people. And, you know, I think we would have been top of the making a run for first place in the American League AL East if, you know, if we didn't go through all the COVID stuff. So, you know, I think, you know, we proved a lot of people wrong. And I knew going into spring training we had something special.
The old adage is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I feel like the COVID situation really did that for this group, where you guys had to face adversity on a day-in, day-out basis. And then whatever else has come along probably hasn't seemed like it's that big of a deal. Whether you're down in a series, you're, you know, in the last couple of days of the season trying to get in. Like, is that kind of the vibe that the COVID situation set for you?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, and it also, you know, added some advantages as far as like looking ahead and seeing some of the guys that we brought up, you know, how well they played for us and you know, get them some playing time. And as well, got the guys that actually got COVID and didn't have any harsh reactions, got them some much needed rest as well. So you know, you look at the positives out of it and you move forward. And like I said, you know, we went through a lot of adversity there where, you know, I think we had 14 guys out at one time. So you know, we went through a lot of adversity and we were able to overcome it. So I think we're stronger now.
One of the things that's really stood out in the postseason is the different approach that you guys have, where it seems like you're taking the ball to the opposite field a little bit more. You're doing the little things that that need to take place. How much have you noticed that, and how much of that has been kind of a mindset of, we're going to do whatever it takes here as an offense? That may be hitting home runs at some point, but it may also mean, you know, putting the ball through the shift.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're facing some of the best pitchers in the big leagues right now, and I think that's the biggest thing is, like, you know, we're not trying to do too much. We're taking what the pitcher gives us, and obviously, like I said, these are the best pitchers that, you know, each team has, and, you know, they're trying to pitch us to get us out and strike us out. So, they're not throwing you cookies down the middle of the part of the plate. You know, you may get one, but, you know, they're nibbling on the edges. They're making good pitches, and you just got to take what you're given, and whatever it be, outside fastball, you take it the other way, or outside slider, try to loop it in, and, you know, just do whatever it takes to get the guy over and get the guy in.
What's the atmosphere been like here? It feels electric. It feels special. You've been in, obviously, World Series last year, very different in a neutral site. What's that been like, and does that actually do something, you know, for a team?
Oh, this place is intense. I mean, this a visiting team coming here, I think it's probably the most overwhelming place to play. I mean, I've been played in Dodger Stadium opening day. I played in, you know, San Fran on the big nights, and that mattered. And this place is electric. There's no other place like it. The fans are close to the field. They're engaged from pitch one to the last pitch of the game. And you know, when we play the Yankees, I don't think the people sat down the whole entire game. I think that's a huge part of it. And the fans are into it. They love us. They're behind us 100%. And we feel it.
This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan.